Ladies and gentlemen, let's go. Level up. Lifestyle. Wellness. Damn good time. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Level up. Ladies and gentlemen. To the Holistic Life Podcast, presented by Same What Radio.
Welcome to another episode of the Holistic Life Podcast. I'm Jenny, your host. Welcome to another episode of deep soul-bearing conversations. I don't know, that's what it feels like to me sometimes, especially with like our most recent episodes that we have done.
I think they're good episodes, though.
They are good, but it just feels like deep soul-bearing. So
that's kind of like the work we do, though.
That's true. That's true. But it's been interesting, you know, to share more of these vulnerable things about me. But why? I think because I don't – okay, so it's going to go into the topic today is because, you know, sometimes you don't want people to know what's going on. And the thing that's interesting is I just had a conversation today with somebody that shared that they had taken a little bit different direction from being an entrepreneur because, and they kept it on the DL for the longest time because they were like, they had like a little ego about it. And I totally was like, me too. And I didn't really get to tell the story because she was, you know, going on about some other things, which is fine. But the thing is, even now, like, I'm kind of like, oh, what do I want to say? Like, it's been years. So here's the thing. Like, have you ever had your ego wrapped up around what you were doing? And if you changed directions, you maybe felt a way or you thought twice about changing directions because it was like, what will other people think? How they perceive me? Maybe perceiving yourself as failing. Because when I was talking to this friend, she said, you know, I really didn't tell anybody because I kind of felt like I failed in my own business. Hmm. And I'll tell you that that was interesting because I was like, oh my God, I did the same thing. I've probably done it quite a few times. When I quit my corporate job the first time and went all in on my business and I went back like 4 months later and I negotiated a part-time role, I didn't tell people I went back. I told people that I picked up a consulting gig and I needed to move to Houston for it. I didn't tell people I had a job again because I was so embarrassed. I felt like I didn't do it. I didn't make it work in my own business.
Why do you think that is, though? Because I'm sure people, because even with me, like I find that interesting. I don't know, that thing, like, because I'm pretty sure more people, it happens to more people than they're willing to share for probably this exact reason. You kind of put yourself out there. A lot of things are bubbling up, like as I talk about it. Like you put yourself out there, and I guess it's like the circle of influence that you have, depending on how you label that, good, bad, indifferent, or whatever. Like if you tell your family, right, and your family is a bunch of like negative Nancys, and you're like, yo, I'm going to go out and do my thing. And they're like, why do you want to do that? Like just get a job and blah, 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 blah. And you go out. And like you said, it quote unquote wasn't successful. And then they're like, well,
I told you so.
Yeah. Like, well, then they're going to tell me how right they were and how wrong I was. And it kind of deflates the thing. So I guess that's where I was going with that, because like I've always been surrounded by people who were like, okay, that didn't work. And what else are you going to do? So like you didn't fail. You learned how not to do something. You know, it's a different perspective. And so it's always interesting when people are like, oh, I don't want to tell because what are people going to say? Like, why does that? I know it does. It's a rhetorical question. But why does that matter? Because no matter what you do, even if you're successful, half the people are going to hate that you're successful. And hate is such a strong word.
Be jealous, be envious, whatever.
You know, going to critique why you're successful. And the other 50% are going to love that you're successful. So it's like, depending on how you look at it, it's win-win, lose-lose, however, whichever way you do. But we get so caught up. And I think this is like the conditioning and why it's so important, why we do the work that we do. It's like we get caught up in failure. Oh, I failed. I wasn't successful. Oh, it didn't work. Oh, they're going to judge me. What will people think? Like we have so much vested in that.
Yeah, it's interesting because the family story I can relate to because I feel like my family has always supported me on the outside, right? But I feel like if it were to quote unquote fail or not work, that they would be probably, I think they would still encourage me, but I feel like they would just be inside or like be dying to be like, I told you so, you should have gone the regular route. You know, I told you you shouldn't have cashed out your 401k. I told you you shouldn't have spent that much on a coach. I told you you shouldn't have, you should have just gone this other way or whatever that looks like.
Right.
Now, coming from the perspective of this friend I was talking to, we ran in a lot of the same circles of professional people in the area I used to live. And like you said, you know, it's the perspective like, okay, it didn't work. What are you going to do now? I feel like a lot of the people in that circle probably would have that response. However, I feel like what happens internally for the person, and I can speak for myself, it's so many achievements. And I felt like my achievements should show up in my business as well. And I felt like my self-worth was tied up in how successful my own business was. And if it wasn't successful, I felt like a failure. Hmm. Not because other people, like in this scenario in the professional community, I didn't feel like other people would, I don't know. I think I perceived that they would judge me and feel like I wasn't good enough because I wanted that external validation and that external, like, yay, good job. But definitely it was like for sure on myself because I didn't want people to perceive me a certain way. And I wanted to maintain a certain look about myself.
Right.
And, you know, and this is where we get into like ego. And I think that I know I'd have to do a little more. I understand what ego means. Internally, I've done a lot of like thinking about it. I've done a lot of research, a lot of reading. But like to articulate that in an episode, I feel like I'd have to like organize my thoughts. Mm-hmm. You know, because I feel like a lot of people don't understand ego. They think ego like, oh, that egotistical man or woman who's always like boasting about who they are. And yeah, I guess that's an aspect of ego. But I'm talking about when your decisions are made by the ego instead of being made by your true authentic self. You know, when you're making decisions to protect yourself from perceived threats outside of you. Because your ego wants to look good. And this doesn't even have to be because you were boasting. Like it doesn't have to be that. I think a lot of people think that that's what it is. Like, say there's like five levels of understanding ego. Level one is like, oh, I'm not going to be that boasting, egotistical person.
Right.
Right. But like if you go deeper, it's for me, like as you go into the depths of what ego is, it's wanting, this is for me, you know, if I look back at that time, if I look back at that time as a speaker, author, coach, when I was running in that route in those circles, it was like, I got like that boost. I got that, like, I felt good about myself. I felt like I was achieving because at the time, this was like very new. Not many people were doing this, like self-publishing a book and my face was on my cover art. And, you know, because I hired someone on Fiverr to do it because you didn't have Canva and all these easy things. Right. So I paid somebody to make some cover art for my Facebook and I had this cool thing and I had a book and I had all this stuff and people were like, wow, you're so amazing. Like those kind of things fuel our ego. And it's not that we can't receive praise, but if you're making decisions from a place of ego, how authentic and true are the decisions that you're making? And I bring that up because, you know, the people that we work with who have all the things, have checked all the boxes, right? It's someone who has the money, has the business, has the accolades, has all the things, but doesn't feel fulfilled. And I would venture to say that a lot of our clients, well, we should like, you know, do some polls or whatever, but I would venture to say that a lot of them at one point or another have been making decisions that have led up to this point that have come from the ego, because maybe they were afraid to switch directions in the business in the way that, you know, like that their colleagues and other partners in the industry would see them. Or maybe they were afraid to leave the business completely because how would it be viewed?
Right.
I'm leaving $1 million business. How would it be viewed if I went over here and did what I wanted? How would my circle perceive me? How would, you know, so it's like a lot of times we make decisions based on the ego. And even, oh my God, I'm going like a little bit left on this, but this is part of it too. People who are sometimes in like a bad relationship, but they stay in it for the kids. Like, I feel like sometimes that decision is made from the ego too, because yeah, you're staying in for the kids and that's one whole thing. But also I feel like a big part of it is how will people perceive you if you're divorced and you're a single mom or a single dad? And, you know, I'm not saying that all of these are true. I'm not saying that this is the case for you, if, you know, for you listening right now. I'm just saying that these are like the ways that ego can show up and can hold us back.
It's interesting when you're talking about this, because like the first thing that popped up for me is, wow, that's a lot of pressure you put on yourself. You know what I'm saying? I think of being 40-something and how crazy the world is right now, but how different it is as well. For one, we're in an interracial relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of single moms, just using that example, like killing it right now, right?
Right.
And it's like, I don't know, that self-awareness that's like, yo, it's going to be better for me to leave this situation than to stay here despite ego or whatever, you know what I'm saying, and have my children grow up watching and seeing, thinking this is cool when I'm not happy.
Right.
And I think it's a lot more pressure we put on ourselves, like how is such and such going to view or people or whatever, when honestly some of those people are like, yo, I got my own shit to deal with.
Yeah, it's interesting because where I'm at right now in life, when this friend told me, you know, I've been low key doing something else for almost a year and I haven't told anybody because I kind of was feeling a ways about it. I was sitting here thinking and I was like, man, I don't really care what you're doing or not. I want you to be happy.
Right.
And I know not everybody comes from that place because there's so much judgmental aspects, but I feel like if we're willing to truly live our authentic lives, then we can be that light that shines as a model of possibility for others. And like you said, especially if you have kids or nieces or nephews or, you know, like friends' kids that look up to you, sometimes you don't have to say very much. You can teach through your actions.
I think that's a good way to teach anyway. It's like teach through your actions. But man, it's society that we live in. It's put a lot of pressure on ourselves, even the you know what I'm saying, the fake it till you make it thing. And all of these things, like this is what success is. I wish, and please talk a little bit about like the phone call you had yesterday, like the coaching program, certification program you're going to, and that you had a 16-year-old who's in the program.
Oh yeah. You know, it's really cool because we're finishing a life coach certification program. And one of the people in the group started a spinoff of the group in Telegram of people who are van lifing or RVing or wanting to, or living this nomad lifestyle. And so we can all share like what it's like to coach on the road and live on the road and ups and downs and ins and outs. So she started this group and we had like a little meet and greet yesterday. And there was a guy who is married to a paraplegic. And they have a home base and then they go out and they do the RV thing for periods of time. There was a woman who had done the van life for a while, but decided she wanted a home base and they on and off van life. And there was a 16-year-old from Azerbaijan, which is a country on the other side of the world from where I am in the United States. And it's interesting because it's a country I know very little about and you don't hear about it a lot. Like I have no idea about this country. And she's going through, she's teaching herself English. Her parents don't speak English. And she's going through this life coach certification program because she wants more in life. She's very aware. She meditates. She, you know, like has an idea about what she wants to do. And she's just very self-aware. And she just was listening to everybody's stories. And we got to the point where we were like, well, hey, you know, you've been listening a lot. Like, what's coming up for you? What are you thinking about all this? And she said her dream has come to the States. She feels like there's a lot of diversity here. She wants to go to college here. And she's like, yeah, I think I would love to do what you guys are talking about. You know, I mean, Airbnb sounds good. The van life sounds good. Like, I just, there's so much I want to do. And you know, it's interesting too. Another thing came up and I found this interesting. So one of the guys asked her, okay, with everything going on in Ukraine, Russia, you're pretty close to there. Like, are you nervous at all? Or, you know, how's that impacting you with you guys being relatively geographically close? And she said, you know, of course it's impacting us. And he asked, like, how's the stress levels? How are you coping with it? And she said, you know, honestly, like I'm used to this. I'm used to this type of thing because my country has been in and out of war. We have a lot of things going on. Like I'm used to this type of thing. So I feel like I have coping mechanisms. And for some of us who have never really been around war like that or never really grew up in a country where there was a lot of additional things, I don't know. I just find it so interesting that we literally are all the same. We all want the same things. We all want, you know, to live a life that we love. We all want to find, you know, peace and happiness and fulfillment. And doesn't matter where we are, we're not our country. Like we're each individual human beings on our own little journey. And so it's always, regardless of age, it's always exciting to hear the stories of people and the perspectives of people from all walks of life and all parts of the world.
I guess so, like, look at that, like, 16-year-old who's, like, super self-aware and, you know, it's anywhere, just put yourself in a situation, I'm going to stay in this horrible relationship because of my kids, I'm going to stay in a job that I hate because I get a good paycheck, yeah.
It's like our comfort zone. You know, it can seem very comfortable to stick with what you currently are doing. However, everything is available for you and you can have the life that you want. You can do the things that you want to do. You can go after that dream or integrate your hobbies. Like you can literally do these things, but sometimes I get it. You feel stuck. You feel stuck because I have felt stuck. Like what happens, I feel like, is when you get so deep into something and maybe this thing like life or business or these thoughts have just been taking you over and it's just been swirling around in your head and that's all you think about. And you've been so consumed and distracted by business and life and things. And then you hit a point and you're like, God, you know, like I'm kind of sick of being on this like cycle. But as you're trying to get out of that, I have felt very stuck. You know, you like look around, you're like, how on earth is it even possible for me to do my hobbies? How on earth is it possible for me to even, I can't even imagine traveling because I'm so busy sun up to sundown. I have so much going on. I have so many commitments. I don't have that passion, that spark for life or the hobbies. Like I don't have that anymore.
I think people still have it.
Well, that's the thing. But that's what I'm saying. When you're stuck, it feels like that. Because you don't see how it's even possible. And the thing is, you have like it's like a peeling of an onion. It's a process.
It's definitely a process. And I feel I'm gonna say it, man. Like the time excuse is getting old. You know, like I don't have time. We make time for whatever we want. I'm gonna use it because it's just a simple example. Like social media, like nothing's there. Nothing's there. Even though it's a distraction, we have time for the distractions. And like you said, it's peeling the onion and getting down to whatever that reason for you is at something different. Like, because I can't sit here and say this is the reason for everybody because it's not. But like, I don't have time. It's an excuse. When we make the time to scroll social media, which is a distraction, you know, if it's too look for validation, you know, for the likes, the comments. Oh, that's so cute. Oh, your day is so hard. Oh, I feel you. To fuel the fire instead of being like, yo, like, what is that thing, for lack of a better phrase, you know? And, or what am I getting from this? Mm-hmm. What is this giving me? Like, I don't have time to do the things I say I want to do, but I make the time to scroll social media.
Right.
Like, what is social media giving me?
It does take that self-awareness to snap you out of like that autopilot. Because I think back to when I was working in corporate America. And while I enjoyed a lot I was doing, like I love traveling around and going all these places and networking and visiting and seeing a lot of different people. I loved it. And I allowed it to absolutely consume me. Like it became my identity. It completely became my identity. And I agree with you. We always have time for what we want to do.
No. We always make time.
We always make time for what we want to do. And I mean, I get that. It's interesting because a lot of this is mental, because I'm thinking back to that time, because while I was getting up in the morning and hiking, or I was doing things that I enjoyed doing around work, I still had felt like I had lost my hobbies. I still felt like I had lost myself, because I had given so much of myself to work. And so much of me was that was my identity. And even though Jenny's the life adventurist and she's traveled around, she did all these great things, I still got lost in that. And I still felt like I didn't have time to be me. But that's where I'm saying it's a mental thing. Because for me, it was the pressures, this is what we're talking about, like with ego and stuff. Like, it was the pressures that I put on myself for how I felt like I needed to show up and perform for my clients and my coworkers and my boss and all of those things. So I had certain expectations. I had certain requirements. I had certain ways that I felt like was that I needed to show up that way. And so if I wasn't showing up that way, I wasn't doing my job. I wasn't, you know, I wouldn't be seen well. I would be, you know, reprimanded. And you know, it's interesting because I think I just not thought of this, is my number one value is freedom. So I feel like I may have also overworked, so I felt like I could earn my freedom and you would just leave me alone. Because if I dropped the guard and I wasn't like doing all the things, that it brought me to that level of like okayness with my bosses and the coworkers and stuff. Like, if I had dropped some things, then I felt like I would lose my freedom.
It's strange because I feel like even still with doing everything you were doing, there were still some times where you dropped some things. Because I feel like dropping things is inevitable. And like, they didn't think of you any less.
No, but I didn't do it very often.
Well, who's to say if you lightened up, you would have done it more often? See, these are the mental games we play with ourselves. Yeah,
because we're afraid to show up differently and try something differently because the way that we have shown up has brought us the level of success that we perceive and have in our life, in our business. And so to make a shift and do things differently, it scared me. It scared me too. It did. It really did. And I mean, but what's interesting is if you think about different layers of that, I would meet people in the hotel who literally would work from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. because they felt like, okay, my job sent me here. I have to work. I have so much to do. So they would literally just work the entire time being on the road.
Sitting in the bar getting drunk, hating it.
Yeah. Like, and I know there's 1,000 scenarios, but I'm just saying, like, I always made time to get my workout in. And I always made time for lunch. Lunch is very important to me and eating is very important to me. So I always had time for lunch. I always had time to get my workout in. And I, let's say at least half of the time, if not more, I made time when I was in cool places to go hike and go do things. Mm-hmm. And so I still had time for those things. But then like, I was on the rest of the time. It's interesting because it's like, you love it. I don't know if you'll ever understand this because you're so different. It's like you love it so much that you don't mind working. But at the same time, if you go too far, it's like at what cost? So for me, it was starting to take away the things that I really loved and it was starting to become my identity. And even in our own business, Being like a podcast and being a brand and being a coach, like I know our business is our identity, but also it's like, I don't want to work all the time. I want to have fun and I want to play. And I could wrap those things into our business, but also it's like you said, the mental games and the pressure that you put on yourself to show up and to perform and to do certain things. I don't know if this is making sense. I bet it makes sense to you. I just don't know if you get it.
It's interesting because I'm thinking about like when I was younger and my mom and dad separated, you know, she had to work, she had to do stuff, you know, and there was a lot of stuff she didn't have the money to do, like, you know, extracurricular activities and like all this other stuff. So I learned to find ways of doing that. That sounded sketchy. Sorry. Like I would save my lunch money. I would get $3 a day for lunch. So I would save my lunch money. I wouldn't eat lunch. And then I, you know, $3, $15 a week, $60 a month, I would save that to get the stuff that I wanted. I worked two jobs. So for me, like working, you know how some people are like, oh, I'm making $12 an hour. Yay. Right. I was working two jobs. So I was making full-time money at two part-time jobs, right? So when I got a full-time job, like nothing changed for me, right? So like the thing that changed, and I've said this before, like I would buy the stuff I wanted. Like in high school, I had expensive watches. Like I had watches a 16-year-old had no fucking business having, right? Me and my best friend went to New York. I got him a like $500 watch because I could, right? So I did a lot of the quote-unquote shiny things at a young age. But as I said in the last episode, I think it was like none of that fulfilled me. So like for me, yes, I understand you, but you're right. I don't get it. Because for me, it clicked earlier, you know, at a younger age. Like I'm busting my ass for like what I'm not happy, you know? My grandfather said, get a good job, work hard. I'm like, why do I want to work hard for a job? And this was like after his time, like you didn't even, you know, you were retired at 50 or some shit and you got to go. Why? They didn't even do that shit anymore. Right. So it was like, why work harder when I can work smarter? And corporate taught me something too, because I went from hourly to salary and I learned that when you're hourly, you can get overtime. You get more money. Your salary, they work you however fucking long they want to work you, and your paycheck looks the same, right? And when that annual review comes, even if you busted your ass and did a phenomenal job, you would get a review that says, you did a great job, but you didn't do an exceptional job.
Right, so here's your 50 cents raise.
Exactly.
You didn't get a dollar, you got 50 cents.
Exactly. So I'm like, yo, why am I going to bust my ass when, you know what I'm saying? I guess I just learned that earlier on. So basically, you're going to work me to the bone and tell me I didn't do good enough. So next year, I'm working even harder so you can tell me I didn't do good enough. So I caught up to the game quick. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to fly under the radar. I'm going to do just enough to where you're not pulling me into your office for a meeting, but I know you're going to screw me over for a raise anyway. So now I'm going to work smarter, not harder.
That's so interesting, because while I was in corporate and I was having these challenges and being frustrated and toxicity and burnout, I remember you and a good friend of ours, Brandon, saying, hey, just work smarter, not harder. And I felt like I had already been doing that. I was like, I don't understand how to do that. And he's like, just fly under the radar. I'm like, I don't know how to fly under the radar. I feel like I'm way too transparent that flying under the radar, if you go from being like the fucking shining star overachiever and then you just fucking bloop off and fly under the radar, like, I don't know how to do that.
But even think about that. The shining star, the thing you labeled yourself,
always active, always contributing, always showing up, raising your hand, and see, all of a sudden you just like disappear.
You know what I'm saying? You see yourself as a shining star, they see you as a workhorse. So if you disappeared, someone else would quote unquote be, now your ego might have kicked in because someone else would have been quote unquote the shining star, mm-hmm, from your point of view, but from their point of view they would have had a new workhorse. Because think about it, how many companies lay off people, hundreds of people, for whatever reason? They're not like, oh God, we really hate to do this. No, you're replaceable. The people who are in a position for years, who know the system back and forth, they let them go because they're making too much money. They can bring in someone fresh out of college who's just happy to have a fucking job and pay them like half of what they were paying you. And I'm saying, like, and I'm saying all this to say, this is the mindset. This is the mindset reframe. This is the mindset shift. Even if you're in a corporate business, or even if you're in your own business, you know what I'm saying? You might not have someone to report to, but you do have to report to your clients. And depending on what type of clients you are working with, there's still a way you can be a shining star, but not basically work your hardest till you're overwhelmed, stressed out, anxious, and burnt out.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I think of someone else that we've worked with, or that we've been in, around, and like know them a little more intimately because they were in a mastermind with us, where she, younger, in a relationship, she loved traveling and wanted to do a lot of things, but she also was very into the hustle and grind and growing her business very big. And it's interesting because she'd be like, oh my God, I'm so busy. I never have any time to do the things that I love. I'm so busy. I would love to do what you guys are doing. But yet she continued doing the hustle and grind. So it's like, it's interesting because people will tell us like, oh my God, I want what you have. I want more. I want to be able to travel. I want to be able to do things. Yet they continue to fill their schedule because I need to hustle. I need to grow. I need to make that money. I need to, you know, expand my business. I got to hire, whatever it is that you're doing. And all those things are great. Like, I'm not saying you can't do those things, but I think that if you've hit a point, or if you have that thing, like, if you're at a point that you're working with us, it's either because you've listened to this and you're proactive and you're like, you know what? I want to take control of my life before that happens. Or you're at a point where you're just like, you're done. You're stuck. You have no idea what to do next. Like, you feel like there's just like these like blinders around you, and you just like, you can't figure out how to shift what you're doing.
Right.
Right. And so it's like, it's interesting because like from the outside, what we hear a lot, you know, there's so many people who want to change and they want to do the things, but yet they keep making the same decisions that have put them in the situation that is shackling them.
Right.
And so that's the thing. Like that's the work, right? That's the work, is like taking a step back from that and really saying, just looking at everything.
And it's interesting because I'm a very heart-centered individual, and I want to help everybody, right? I want to help everybody, but we do work with a very specific niche of people. Like you said, the people who were like, yo, I don't want to go there. So show me how not to go there now. Mm-hmm. Show me how to be aware of those triggers and habits to replace what I usually go to when I'm triggered. Or the people who are like, fuck it, like I'm done. I'm sick and tired. I don't know what else to do.
I want a different way. Like, I want to show up differently.
Cause I mean, I would love for somebody to be like, oh, I need your help. You know what I'm saying? But like, I've learned, despite how much I want to help people, cause this is very life transformative work, but you know, sitting and talking to them and just like, yo, you're not ready.
Yeah.
Not that that's a bad thing, but for what we do, like it's not a quote unquote strategy. You know what I'm saying? It's deep work. It's like looking at decisions, choices, and saying, wow, or like, whoa, or okay.
Well, and then empowering yourself so you can make a new decision and a new choice on your terms that can set you up and take you closer to that fulfillment, to that joy, to that freedom, to that, you know, more travel or more adventure, hobbies or whatever.
Where I was going with that is just like, it's just being okay with the fact that people aren't ready.
Yeah.
And they might hear this and be like, oh, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and them even reaching out and being like, yo, I want this. They're like, but do you?
Yeah.
Which goes back to our four quadrants, but because there's a process, you know, and it's like, if you're not ready, that's fine. Because you might hear this now, 3, 6, 9, year from now, year and a half, something that we said will sprout. And you will be like, holy shit, this is what they were talking about.
Hey, it's even happened in our relationship. Jay made a comment that there are things, I think it's in the last podcast, like there are things that he told me 2, 3 years ago that are just now sprouting.
Like when you were like, yo, discovery calls. I like discovery calls. We don't like ask sales questions. And I was like, yo, that's what I was trying to do years ago. You're like, no, we got to have the sales call. I'm like, yo, why can't we just sit on the phone and get to know the person?
But we are getting to know the person in sales call. I'm speaking from that past thing. You are getting to know the person, but we're asking these questions and we're following this process because it's about closing the person.
Right.
And really, it like for me, that's where like the corporate came in and the process came in and like, okay, let's go. Let's get the business going. But it's like a whole, I think what I'm tapping into now and what I want to help others tap into is how to really align with the energy and the flow of the universe versus the control and the planning and the manipulation in some ways of your reality.
I mean, there's
because I manipulated my reality.
But there's nothing wrong with planning, but I feel like holding on to the plan so tightly.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Control. Like the control is the first thing I said. Like all of it. I'd venture to say that a lot of what is holding you back, because I know it held me back, was my desire to control the outcome. Control the process. Control the steps. Control the whatever it is.
Right.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like releasing that. That might not be the case for everyone listening, but I bet you for a lot of our clients, it's a big part.
Yeah.
I mean, it already has been with some of the people we've worked with. How many people have we worked with that have said like, oh my God, I just want to control everything.
Like, why?
But see, that's like, that's why we're a good pair because you're like, you see it so differently, but I can relate because I have been there.
Right.
And I still go there sometimes and I still am working on shedding that.
Right. Once you realize, and I say this, so it might take a minute for this to like sink in, but like once you realize you can control nothing, once you realize you control nothing is when you start to control everything.
But not because you're the one orchestrating it.
No, basically what that's saying is like you let go of how things are supposed to happen and you start to control how you react to things happening.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like you start to, I don't know, I feel like a lot of the stress comes from things that you're trying to control.
Agreed.
Expectations.
Yep.
Lack of clarity. Even as we talked about in the last episode about fulfillment, lack of clarity about what helps you make, like what does fulfillment mean to you? And what does that feel like? And what, you know, are the thing, like what things would need to be present for you to be fulfilled? You know, you always know when the episode is like done, when we're just sitting in thought because it's deep. You know, it just kind of comes and it's deep. And so much of me wants this podcast to be like, see, this is where it comes in. You know, I'm it's like so good that you love it and it changes your life. And, you know, you're like, wow, oh my God, let me send this to all my friends. And, you know, or like it makes this like such a huge impactful moment. And I want to say the right things. And I want to, oh yeah. You know, you're talking about like discovery call versus sales call. Oh yeah, we got to like call to action and ask them to do something. And oh, we got to say something. And if we're not, and then get like all of that comes up for me. And I'm like, oh, da, da, da. Already, even just thinking about it, I feel stressed. I feel stressed versus just the flow of it being like, yo, you know what? If this is resonating and you're ready, just reach out. We got you. Let's chat. Let's have a discovery call. Only because we just talked about that. I know I made it sound corny. Like what I love about the idea of a discovery call is it's exactly that. Like it's like, let's get to know you. Let's hear your story. Let's hear your dreams. Let's hear what's holding you back and then see if we're a good fit. I think that that's a shift too, because me, like anybody else, like I want to make money. I want to build a business. I want to do well in life. But I also really have come to appreciate my peace and freedom and flow, that it's not worth it to me to take on a client who's not ready or who's not a good fit, because in the long run, it doesn't help them. It doesn't help us. It's not of service.
It's that control thing again. Like even with a lot of people started their business because you want to make money. Not saying that's not important. Yes, profit is super important. Definitely not saying it isn't. But it's like, even think about that, the pressure of that. I want to make money. It's a lot of pressure just in general.
Yeah.
Like for me, like I said, and the reason I say I'm not money motivated because of what I explained earlier, I've done a lot of things with money, like the shiny things. Yeah, let me correct that. The sense of being money motivated for the things, right?
Yeah.
I do understand that financial freedom can open a lot of doors, but that's not the thing that drives me, right? Being able to help someone, even if it's just one person, get that clarity. Like sitting, discovering, had their life doing a 180. Because for me, if I'm able to change your life and you're able to be that example we were talking about, sometimes you don't even have to say anything because people are going to notice. People are going to recognize. And then people are going to start asking, yo, you're different. You're acting different. You're looking different. Like your whole vibe is different. Like you're on a whole nother level. What are you doing? It's keto, right? You're doing keto. It's like, no, I hired the Hollis. And like, yo, I need, I'm going to switch that. I want what you got. Call it the Hollis.
All right, guys, catch you on the next episode.
You can subscribe to the Holistic Life Podcast from your favorite streaming platform. And don't forget to check out 2jholla.com to stay in the know as an official 2J Age Insider. Mahalo for tuning.